Welcome to Sotong Sessions. You're on with
Candace,
Delia,
and Jazz. And today we break from our regularly scheduled intro to inform you that the revolution is not only being televised, but it's being podcasted.
All right, let's get into this. A rapper has won a Pulitzer Prize.
Come on.
Shout out to Kendrick.
Damn.
That's all I can say about that.
Damn.
Period.
What y'all thought about that?
I don't know. There was like this media takeover, like all over my media feeds. I was just seeing it, and I was like, wait, what? Like, this came out of nowhere, first of all. Yeah. And second of all, I didn't even know that a rapper could win. And so when they're like, oh, it's the first time a non-classical or a non-jazz artist has won, I was like, oh, snap.
Was that ever an option?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely took me by surprise.
Yeah.
I think, it didn't seem like it was very public knowledge. Like, I mean, it became public knowledge,
yeah.
But it wasn't like there was... I don't know, I just felt like some of the past Pulitzer Prize announcements, something was missing. It just felt very like, yeah, he won, okay, cool, and like, move on.
Oh, is that how you felt?
You know, like, at least in the way the announcement came out.
Mm.
You know what I mean? We make such a huge pomp and circumstance about a lot of other awards, and then this, to be the first of its kind, I felt like this should have gotten a little bit more weight, and it just didn't have it, at least when the announcement came out. And I think it needs more than that, because this is a huge deal.
Do you think that has something to do with the nature of the award, though? I mean, it's a Pulitzer. When was the last time Pulitzers got up in circumstance?
That's true.
It might have been just the nature of the award. I think people were like, yay, but what does that mean? Like, what's a Pulitzer and how significant is that?
I guess because I like it. But like, Pulitzer Prize, I follow that. So in my mind, it's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
I think because Kendrick won, it's going to become a big deal to a lot of people. I personally feel like it's going to set a goal now. Because I think even in my own life, I'm like, oh, we can win Pulitzers for articulating our life and the life of our people, especially as an African American.
Yeah.
So for me, I was like, okay, well, I don't rap, so I don't think I'm gonna get, you know, the next.
I mean, you could.
I could work on my bars.
Go ahead.
Come on. Yeah, I got bars.
Make a debut on Sotong.
Yo, if I had a big say, though, would you buy it?
I would. I'll support it.
Would you listen to it? I think that's a better question. I put out a mixtape. I got some for y'all. Look for me. Look for me at the end of 2018.
Oh, gosh.
But I felt like, oh, that's a new level to which we can attain. Like, oh, we can get Pulitzers now. Mm-hmm. Like, for me, I was like, all right, one day I hope to get, like, a Tony or something like that, because that's all I know.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh, I can get a Pulitzer. Mm-hmm. And I think that people who didn't know what a Pulitzer was, but to see and hear about Kendrick getting one, had to do some Google, figure that out, and then are able to set that as a goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are some implications that you felt about it, Jazz? Like, what is that... apply for the future?
I'm just thinking of like the younger generation who they're still in school and they're dreaming about what they want to be when they grow up.
Yeah. Mm.
And it's like, here's another realm of possibilities that's just been opened up for them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then people who listen to his music, who listen to the stories that he's so good at telling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, it's a whole nother world to enter into for people.
I think when you mention like what kids are dreaming, because there are a lot of kids who say, I want to be a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
And so now what that means for them is Pulitzer winner.
Mm.
And that's really cool.
Yeah.
So when we talk about, you know, where we have come, that we have come this far by faith. Reminds me of another.
Don't take it there.
Another Negro spiritual that I heard at the opening of Coachella.
Baychella
stood up there with her
regal. She had several costume outfits and wardrobe changes.
It was a production.
Let's talk about production first, because that's what Delia hit us up in the group chat on some. I don't even know how I feel about this, but that production, I want to be on that production team. So I had to go back and watch it again just on the strength of its production.
A production
and it
tip.
Was, yes. it was just massive.
I was mesmerized. Like, that's a good word. Sitting there, and I was like, I want to know who the producers were. I want to know who the production, I want to know who the production managers were. I want to know who the visionary was. I mean, when we talk about Beyonce, we talk about her being an incredible mm-hmm. entertainer, mm-hmm. and these ideas are hers, and these concepts are hers, and she puts forth the final product. But she has a team of people that sit and strategize and come together and make things work.
Yeah.
And to have 100-plus-piece mm-hmm. marching band behind you the entire time on point.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was Questlove who tweeted out at one point about, you know, like, the logistical nightmare of that mm-hmm. as a sound person,
right,
as a sound technician,
yeah,
as a production person, to have all of that going on mm-hmm.
at the same time
and
for it sounded good,
right, and for it to be legit
for two hours
completely mesmerized. And I was like, look, I just want to be like in the background, like, who was the person who was putting all this stuff together? What did their Google Docs look like? What did their like, I got real nerdy and techie about it,
like, Google Docs.
I loved the whole production of it, you know, on top of Beyonce being who she is, mm-hmm. bringing in the people that she brought in, mm-hmm. the messages that she was sending, on top of all that, mm-hmm. but just like the production of it for me initially mm-hmm. was what had me. You had me at the first trumpet, like, that's what I was at.
Did y'all see that meme where it was like Beyonce had a full marching band behind her doing swag surf and the crowd was like stiff as a board? I was like, oh my god. And then I went back and watched it and I was like,
it's true.
Everybody I know goes off when they swag surf. How could you not with Beyonce and a marching band?
100.
Come on, guys.
So she's the first black woman to headline Coachella. Yeah. And everywhere you read, especially on social media, they keep calling it the blackest performance. It was the blackest performance at Coachella. And I was like, man, this is another... She's Beyonce.
But are we surprised? Because look at Super Bowl. What was it? 2 years ago?
Yeah.
She was warming up.
She did the black...
Right. Yes.
It was a warm-up. That was like a precursor to
this. It was a precursor.
This.
And then Lemonade, even if you watch like the visual album for Lemonade, it's pretty... There's a lot of like...
Yeah.
It's pro-black. Mm-hmm. And I think she has decided, you know what? I'm going to take this platform and it's going to be black all the way through.
Yeah.
I'm going to
my people. It's unapologetic.
It's unapologetic. One of the significance of, you know, her using a marching band and having this college theme, apparently she donated $100,000
in scholarships
right to black colleges after this performance. So I felt like it was a nice setup. I feel like she is very intentional with her platform now, and unapologetic in that. How do you feel like, what do you feel like the implications are for that performance, Delia? Like, what comes next?
I mean, in addition to her continuing to use her platform in this way,
mm-hmm.
I think it encourages people to talk. I think it encourages people to see themselves, kind of like what you were saying with Kendrick, even in the Pulitzer, like it validates in a certain way, but also allows for space for people to feel like their voices are being heard, people to feel like they're being seen.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like we might see more performances by artists
mm-hmm.
kind of stepping out there in that way,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think too, like, when people think of, you know, HBCUs, there's such pride.
Yeah.
Such pride that
there's like more
carry,
pride than anything.
Yeah.
You know, when they go to these schools and they have those experiences and they make those connections with people that become family and like are part of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And so for that pride to be shown on this magnitude, this scale,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, I didn't go to an HBCU, but I have friends and family who did.
Mm-hmm.
And just to hear them talk about how important it was for them to see that reflected on that stage by someone like Beyonce.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, I think it was great. It was much needed.
Yeah. So what I felt like, it should have been a conversation that we would have been talking about for a long time. Kendrick winning Pulitzer should have been a conversation that we would be talking about for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
The spinoff should have been great. And then Starbucks. Damn it, Starbucks.
Damn, period.
We love Starbucks. Y'all know how we love Starbucks. We always talk to y'all from a Starbucks. Like, that's how is where it goes down, you know. I tried to work at Starbucks. I wasn't that good at it. But
you are impressed with the company and their values and how they structure things and how they run their business.
One thing, as a person who worked at Starbucks for 14 days, what I can tell you from my expert point of view is that the structure of the company and the way their values has nothing to do with coffee. They care about people, and they call themselves the third place. So after work, after home, Starbucks is the third place for you. Like, that's where people come. It's community oriented. No matter where you are in the world, there's a community board in a Starbucks because that's what they care about. Fast forward to two beautiful black men being arrested for sitting inside of one, and that got a lot of news. And I was like, it cut short what Beyonce did. It cut short what Kendrick did.
Yeah,
and it got a lot of news.
I mean, there are people on both sides of this issue saying that this company has a clear rule: you need to order something when you go there. They deserved what they got. They should have been kicked out. They should have been whatever.
That's people who don't know that company, though. That's not the clear rule of it. They want you to hang out there.
They do.
Right.
And the thing is that these two men were waiting on their third person. They weren't just loitering. They're waiting. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, when you go somewhere, you don't want to order your coffee if everybody's not there yet. You know what I'm saying?
Which is understood.
Yeah. And so I was listening to them give an interview. I think it was on like USA Today or something. And they were laying out the timeline of when the manager approached them, what they said, when the manager called the police, and when they got arrested. And everything happened within a matter of like 2 or 3 minutes.
That's not
and
amazing.
I was like, what? Like, that
didn't take us that long to find a seat that we could sit down and record it. Like,
and even to decide what we want to drink. The first place.
It just didn't make sense to me. It didn't make sense at all.
I questioned the manager, though, because I'm like, what's going on in your life? Like, haven't you been following on social media how we not going for that no more?
How we don't do that no more?
We don't do that no more. Where you been at? That thought that was going to be okay. Dee, what did you think?
I mean, I understand the both sides as well, you know, the whole loitering versus whatever, but like we said, they weren't doing that, you know, and you're not, when you go somewhere, I mean, look, when I go somewhere, especially if it's a restaurant or a coffee shop or whatever, if I've got people come with me, I'm usually always like, you know, I'm waiting on somebody, I have a meeting, I have a friend that's coming, I'm not going to order yet, give me a minute, and there have been times where it's been a long wait, because either that person's been late or I've been super early, you know, and usually there's an understanding about that. And so my thing is, where was the understanding? You're at Starbucks. This is not the first group of people to have come into your doors to sit down and wait for their other party to arrive. So where was the understanding in that? And then even on the cop's end, where was your understanding?
Because
you didn't have to follow through to arrest them. You could have told the manager that these men were not doing anything that warranted them being arrested, and you could have just walked out and let it go. But then even with that, they were still like...
So it's not even just the manager.
It escalated.
It escalated really quickly, really fast.
Surprise! People, a police interaction with a black and brown man escalated.
You know, whatever. The fear just kind of took it over, and they made very unwise decisions as a whole. You know?
It's a series of unwise decisions.
I mean, I watched a clip where like the guy came in that they were waiting for, and he was like, what are you guys talking about? They were waiting for me.
Yeah.
And then still at that point, they were like, no, they gotta go. What? You know, so I just felt like it was just unnecessary. The whole situation was
unnecessary.
It was uncalled for. And
I think my opinion is that had they been of another race, there would have been more understanding and more communication and more, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think it would have escalated to this point. So, people have disagreed and been like, it's not a race thing. They broke the rules. They should have been kicked out. I disagree. I completely think that they were profiled and it escalated, and this is what happened.
I think that Starbucks says that they were profiled and it escalated and they closed down. Because, like I said, from my expert experience of working there for 14 days, I did go through training, and all throughout the Starbucks manual, all of this, it is a people first. They want people to connect one cup of coffee at a time. You can buy a cup of coffee at Starbucks and stay there for 6 hours. That's why they make the cheers the way that they do. They want that. That is in the ethos of that business. Yeah. You as a manager have been trained. You read the same manual I did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know you did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ain't nowhere in that manual does it say must buy a cup of coffee within a certain amount of time. It is not written there. Mm-hmm. So these people are talking about, well, those are the rules. Didn't work at Starbucks. Mm-hmm. Not saying that you got to work at Starbucks to even know common sense, though.
Mm-hmm. That's like, what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's a coffee shop.
It's a coffee shop. People
that's
work
the whole
there.
Point.
People wait there. They meet people there. That's I said, my friend ain't here yet. You go take the next order and move on. What, right. what about me telling you that we're waiting for my friend made you feel threatened to the point that you had to call the police?
Yeah. Like,
what about you as a police officer said, somebody's sitting in Starbucks? What? We got to go arrest them.
Yeah. And you also have other witnesses saying that they weren't causing a disturbance. They weren't being a problem.
I saw
there
that.
Was nothing aggressive
nothing
about
aggressive.
Them.
Even when they were being arrested, they were calm.
Yeah. And
they
got video
up.
They complied.
They complied completely.
What did you think was going through their minds? Because I was watching the way that they complied, and to be honest, a part of me looked at their faces, and I think that they were afraid. I think that they felt
they
like...
They said that in the interview.
They didn't do a lot, because it doesn't end well for black men and cops.
Wouldn't you be confused, though? Like, what? Because one guy was like, one of them said he saw the police walk in, and he was like, oh, that can't be for us. Like, what is going on? I can mm-hmm. imagine that you're confused. Mm-hmm. And he said when they stood up and cuffed them, they didn't even read them their rights, like, ooh, so I can't imagine it.
I just, like, if you watch that clip with the sound off and you just look at faces, oh, I'm getting emotional thinking about it. You could tell that they were very afraid. And the fact that you're sitting in a Starbucks and two cops walks in and you fear for your life. Mm. Kendrick and Beyonce ain't enough to fix that shit.
Mm.
Yeah.
I feel like, damn, we are back. It don't matter. It don't matter how big we get.
It's like 2 steps forward.
Three steps back.
400 years back.
Yeah. But you know what? I will say this. I am happy with the way that Starbucks as a company, as a corporation, has handled it. Because
they did
they're saying that...
With it.
They're saying that regardless of how you feel about this one isolated situation, mm-hmm. it's still a bigger problem. And that's what they're addressing through closing 8,000 stores and having this employee training.
Yeah.
They're saying, you know what? This is a bigger issue that we need to tackle. And they're making a curriculum for their company that they said they're open for other companies to use,
mm-hmm.
which that's a huge step to have, you know, that type of racial bias training for
and
companies.
Then give it out,
and they're going to make it as a part of their new hire training as well.
Ooh, I might try to get back on that stuff. Get some of that
just
training.
To take the training. No, so I was very happy with how they handled that because they took a concrete step to address a bigger issue that is still going on. It's still going to go on even after this dust settles, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But that's why the voices of Kendrick and Beyonce and Candace and Jazz
and Delia
are so important.
Yeah.
That's why.
We're not done.
Because this stuff still needs to be talked about.
Mm-hmm.
It still needs to be processed.
Mm-hmm.
It still needs to be put out there for people to hear and talk about.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It has to be.
So y'all go ahead and hit us up. Let's keep talking about it. I mean, you know, I say this all the time. We may be 6,000 miles away, but we still with the culture. We do it for the culture.
That's right.
We here with y'all. Hit us up in the comments. Find us on SoundCloud, on Instagram, Sotong Sessions. Let us know how this is making y'all feel.
All right.
Till next time.